My guest at this time is retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney. He's a Fox News military analyst. He, at one time, was the number three man in the U.S. Air Force, serving as Assistant Vice Chief of Staff, and he's a longtime expert on Libya. We want to get his insights, as it appears the rebels have now taken over virtually everything in Tripoli, including much of the Gaddafi compound. And, of course, the important question which follows, what follows Gaddafi? And, General, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
You have been very skeptical of this mission from the get-go. Initially, it was described as days, not weeks. It was over 5 months, I believe. Now that we've gotten to this point, what do you see as the benefit of this? Obviously, Gaddafi has been a thorn in the U.S. side. He has American blood on his hands. But, of course, there's always the question of what follows him. Let's take it one step at a time. If, in fact, Gaddafi is gone, how important is that?
Well, I think it's significant, except it's kind of like it's the devil I know versus the devil I don't know. And since the Transitional National Council, the TNC, we don't know who all they are. We do know there are radical Islamists in them, as evidenced by 2 weeks ago when they brutally mutilated the body of the chief of staff of the TNC militarily, and it had all the hallmarks of radical Islam. But so I'm a little concerned about that. I'm concerned about it was the Western tribes that took over Tripoli, really. The Benghazi tribes were really hung up back there in some of the other cities. And so you have tribes in the West and the East that it's a power structure that's going to be debated in the future. So there are a lot of unknowns. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm euphoric that Gaddafi's gone, but, and there are a few dots after the but.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about one of the reports that came out in the last 24 to 48 hours, and I'm not sure which tribe group this refers to, but apparently at least one of the tribe groups, if not more than that, is suggesting that a new constitution ought to be based on Sharia law, which obviously raises a lot of red flags for those worried about the rise of radical Islam in our own country and in Western Europe. Is that something that should be expected, given who lives there, or is that a major red flag for you?
Well, it's expected for who lives there, but it's also a major red flag, because Sharia law does not treat women equal. And so you're going to have different standards here. Sharia law does not treat you and I equal with a Muslim. And so you're not going to have the equality of man, which we think is very important, that all men are created equal, as Thomas Jefferson so eloquently said in our Declaration of Independence. And so that is worrisome. You're starting out with 1 foot in the hole already. And you don't know where you're going to end up. So that's a very good question, and it does trouble me, but it doesn't surprise me.
The French have called for a conference, I believe, next week to try and get some sort of international consensus on the roadmap towards a stable replacement government. First of all, how much influence can the international community have? And secondly, if we do have some influence, what can we do?
Well, I think the international community can have some influence because, frankly, this government's going to want to have an international stabilization force, an ISF, because they've never run a country before. So how are you going to get the trains to run on time? How are you going to have law and order? How are you going to miss having a humanitarian disaster of people who you've got to feed in all these cities? How do you get the refineries going again? How do you get the oil being pumped out of the ground? So all those things are very important for the proper law and order of the community and of the society. The international community can help. Now, the other thing that I think the international community should be very involved with, Greg, is there are estimated 20,000 handheld surface-to-air missiles like our Stingers. There is sarin gas and mustard gas, weapons of mass destruction that he has. We do not want that war material to fall into the hands of Al-Qaeda or other radical Islamists. So I think for that reason, an international stabilization force would be very welcome. Hopefully it would be led by the Brits, the French, the Italians, and the Turks, and others, other Muslim nations, Qatar and some of the others, but even the Egyptians. But that could be very helpful for us.
We're talking with retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney. And General, in our last little bit here, want to talk about your analysis of how we got to this point of the rebels apparently succeeding in ousting Gaddafi. First of all, of course, over the past several months, you've had the NATO sorties with most of the heavy lifting done, of course, by the United States. What do you suspect is the reason they were ultimately successful, and how far do you think the rebels would have gotten without that air support?
Well, I'll answer the second question first. They wouldn't have been successful. They have gotten nowhere. They needed that air support, and you're right. It was driven by particularly American air power, Joint Stars, Global Hawks, high-flying UAVs, unmanned drones. We had the Reapers and the Predators over there. We had F-15s, F-16s, F-18s from the Navy. And we had even B-2s that flew out of Whiteman in Missouri and hit the airfields in the early days, as well as cruise missiles from the ships and air-launched cruise missiles. So all that air power was very instrumental. Now, it was done in a measured way. That's why it's taken 5 months for this to come to the end game. But so it could not have happened without it. Now, the heavy lifting starts is how do you rebuild a nation? How do you nation build? We've done that in Iraq and Afghanistan, and frankly, with an insurgency going, we haven't done it very well, have we? It's tough, tough business, and that's what's worrying me. Who's going to take the leadership role in that particular part of rebuilding Libya so we don't leave a fragmented society that is taken over by Al-Qaeda or Muslim Brotherhood or radical Islamists? That's the danger that I worry about and always have.
Last question, and once again, tactically, we know from the early stages of the of this war that the rebels seem to be hapless, not very well organized, didn't have a lot of basic military tactics down. Now, from what we're hearing and how they went after Tripoli, it seems like they've learned a lot. We keep hearing that there were never any American boots on the ground, but how do you think they improved their tactics to that extent over a number of months?
Well, I think what happened is the French and the Brits and maybe the Italians, and we may have had some covert elements, although I don't know that. The fact is that helped them do that for the final end game and called in the air power, what we call JTACs, the old Ford air controller, Joint Tactical Air Controllers, that made that air power more precise. We doubled the number of Reaper attacks in the last 14 days, and I think that was critical in the final determination to get Gaddafi out of Tripoli. Now, he still may be in Tripoli. I think what you're going to see over the next couple of days is just what we saw in Baghdad. You're going to start to see some looting. You're going to see chaos continue, and you're going to see an insurgency develop. There are a lot of tribes that are still very loyal to Gaddafi, and as we found out from Saddam Hussein, who we finally got in a spider hole, because we had crackerjack special operations and the 101st Airborne and the 4th Infantry Division hunting for him, even then, remember how long it took us. So we've got a lot of challenges in front of us, Greg.
Well, as you say, sir, a major accomplishment and a whole lot of questions still remaining on what comes next. As always, sir, we appreciate your time and your insight.
Thank you, Greg.
Retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney, Fox News military analyst, former Assistant Vice Chief of Staff for the United States Air Force, and a longtime expert on Libya. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.